How's it going, everybody? Welcome to the very first episode of Cotto's Corner Sports Talk here. We're streaming live. This is very exciting for me, and this is basically going to be a quick, brief test run on basically what the show is going to be all about. We're going to try to touch on all the sports as much as we can, keep up with the latest news, the latest sports talk, and hopefully get some guests on the show, a couple friends of mine. Maybe we'll spice things up a little bit. But for today, very brief, like I said, just a test run. I'm really excited to be doing this, and we're going to get right down to it. We're going to start talking about the NBA. The NBA the season has just wrapped up with the Raptors winning their first franchise championship. I think that's extremely, extremely exciting for the league. Knocking the Golden State Warriors off of their three-peat opportunity. Even though, they're with the help of some injuries, unfortunately, Kevin Durant going down with the torn Achilles, Klay Thompson with an ACL tear, Boogie Cousins being injured all year, coming back, finally, who knows if he was healthy, definitely not in game shape, and that showed. And, that series really was an exceptional one. I was very, very into it the whole way. I didn't think it was going to go as deep as it did. I thought Toronto had them beat for the most part. But Steph Curry with some heroics per usual, being one of, if not the best point guards of all time, one of the most influential basketball players we've ever seen. He did all he could with all he had, and hats off to him, but hats off to Toronto for an exceptional series, in particular Kawhi Leonard, the finals MVP, coming in from San Antonio, not playing at all last year. It was a very, very interesting way to see Toronto to their first championship. Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, guys like that were influential in that postseason run and that finals win. Kyle Lowry played an exceptional closeout game. Fred VanVleet was outstanding the whole finals, the whole playoffs, really hitting some big shots off the bench, starting some time, playing a lot of big minutes, something he really was accustomed to in the regular season, but when it got to the postseason, he turned it up a notch, and I think that really pushed Toronto to their victory. Serge Ibaka looked like a form of his own self, and Marc Gasol, just another influential leader, another big man, which honestly the league is lacking. Not many big men, not many versatile big men. Marc Gasol played a great series. Guys like Danny Green, who played in the Spurs with Kawhi Leonard, they had all the pieces to the puzzle, and I think that's really what propelled them to this first finals victory. And it's a big, big question now is if Kawhi is going to stay. Kawhi Leonard, everybody's saying, he's accomplished so much in just one season in Toronto. He's got a whole country behind him, rallying behind him. Why leave? You just won the finals. You're doing your thing. You brought a championship to, a city that hasn't seen one ever in the game of basketball. And I think this is something that's beyond exceptional and beyond exciting for the sport. Toronto being the city that it is, Canada being, the outlier in basketball in particular with the one team that they have, I think this is absolutely outstanding for the sport and for the world of sports. This is something that is going to take it to the next step, especially with, how we've seen the NFL playing more games overseas and even talking about playing in Canada this year. And the likes of these things, this only makes sports more exciting. I think this was perfect for the game at a perfect time. And to have a star like Kawhi Leonard in Toronto is something that is outstanding. And I believe he needs to stay put. He's been linked with the LA Clippers heavily. And I think it's a mistake. The reason I think it's a mistake is because, yes, granted, he wants his own team, even though he already has it. He wants to be in a bigger market in LA, but at the same time, if he goes to LA, he's going to be outshined by LeBron James. LeBron James, arguably the greatest basketball player of all time, is playing in the same arena as you on your off nights. The cameras are flashing in LA, the Staples Center for the Lakers, especially with the emergence of Anthony Davis, who just landed there. And I think that that's something that, needs to be looked at in particular, because if Kawhi wants to be the guy, he wants to be that guy. There's no reason for him to leave Toronto. Which is going to bring me to talking about Anthony Davis now in the LA Lakers. I personally think that that trade you know, yes, the Lakers got Anthony Davis. LeBron got what he was looking for. Obviously, LeBron was looking for that, you know, that number two guy, even looking for their number three guy. They're clearing some cap room at the moment. But at the same time, I don't quite think that that was the answer. I think they rushed it a little bit. And the reason I say that is you gave up all your young talent for one guy. And yes, Anthony Davis is a great, he's an exceptional player. He's one of the best in the league, one of the hardest guys in the league to guard. But at the same time, he can't stay healthy. He's shown that his track record with health reasons is not good. And, you know, you gave away Lonzo Ball, who's the second pick of the draft last year or the year before. You gave away Brandon Ingram, who has an outstanding upside. You gave away Josh Hart, who is really just a role player, but, you know, he gave quality minutes to the Lakers this year. He wasn't the best player at all times, but he's a guy that, you know, made a push, gave everything he had, and it was, you know, he was an influential part of that team when they were in fourth place around the midway point of the season, just before everybody got hurt. And I think that giving all those pieces away and just keeping Kyle Kuzma was a heavy blow to that team, especially to that roster. As you see now, they don't even have a starting five. You know, looking at who they have with the cap space that they have, you've got three guys that you could really rely on: Kyle Kuzma, Anthony Davis, and LeBron. And I don't think it's enough. Now, is it enough to be a championship team? That's what they're looking for. Getting Anthony Davis was the quick fix to being in contention automatically. And honestly, with the way that the NBA looks at the moment, with the likes of Kevin Durant tearing his Achilles, probably not going to play the whole season next year. You know, it draws a lot of questions. And with the ACL tear with Klay Thompson and Boogie probably not going to re-sign, you know, the Warriors are in a pretty rough spot right now, and it's not looking great. But you've still got Steph Curry there. You've still got that deep bench, the likes of Andre Iguodala, Sean Livingston, guys like that. It's not going to make it easy on the Lakers, and I think that they need a couple more pieces. Now, granted, yes, the three-peat was canceled by Toronto. I think that Golden State is going to come back stronger. They're going to come back better. They might make a move or two. Who knows? But I think, number one, they have to re-sign Klay Thompson. Yes, he tore his ACL. Yeah, he probably will miss some time. But, you know, he kept them in that finals for a little bit. Him going down and leaving the game was rough. And obviously, Curry stepped up. But they don't make the strides that that team makes without Klay Thompson. I think he's the purest shooter in the league. I think he has the most outstanding form in the league. I think he's arguably the best shooting guard in the league, and I think he proved that in the postseason. Now, could he lead his own team? I think so. I think he's good enough. Will they be a contender? Probably not, especially if he were to be in the West. If he were to go to LA, be that third piece, sign a max deal, maybe under a max deal, depending on the cap space, I think it'd be doing him an injustice. I think that the Bay Area needs Klay Thompson, and I think Klay Thompson needs the Bay Area. I think that's something that's huge, and I think that's something that needs to be done. And it's got to be number one on their bucket list to keep Klay Thompson in town, or they're going to see a demise of a dynasty that, you know, was on the brink of a three-peat if those injuries don't happen. The NBA draft is tomorrow. A lot of speculation, a lot of talk going around. Obviously, we all know Zion Williamson's going to be the number one pick of the draft. It looks like John Morant will be number two. The Knicks, you know, who knows who they're going to take. I was under the assumption that they're going to take RJ Barrett. They're talking about taking the point guard from Vanderbilt. I think it's a mistake. I think RJ Barrett's your guy. I think he's the most NBA-ready player that would fit the Knicks perfectly other than Zion Williamson. Obviously, they didn't look out in the draft lottery, but, you know, RJ Barrett is as good as they come. He was the number one-ranked high school player coming into college this year. He showed signs of excellence. He showed signs of needing to mature, but I think he's league-ready. I don't think that there are many other players that could say that outside the top three picks. I think that he is league ready. I'm very interested to see where Cam Reddish lands. I thought he was outstanding. A lot of time I talk about him the most at Duke. You know how great Zion is. You know how great RJ Barrett could be. Cam Reddish being that third option on that team was exceptional. I think he could be an outstanding league player, whether it's off the bench or for a very bad team, starting and getting some good minutes. I think he could be a great scorer. I see a lot of Paul George in his game. I see a lot of, you know, shifty getting to the cup, getting to the rim, being able to hit shots, open shots. He's a fairly streaky shooter, but I think him getting in the league, getting a couple seasons under his belt, I think he could be a very dangerous player, especially on a good team. But I could see him landing in the top 10. He's definitely a lottery pick in my book. And I hope to see him really blow up on the scene and get some recognition that I think he deserves. Zion Williamson getting paired with the likes of Lonzo Ball, Brandon Ingram, Drew Holiday. That team could be very scary in a couple years. I think that Pelicans team in 2 or 3 years could be very dangerous. And that's if everybody stays healthy. There's already talks of Lonzo getting shipped out again. Julius Randle just said that he wanted to be traded, wants to opt out. So things are looking a little shaky for them right now. But I think Zion Williamson's the perfect piece to replace Anthony Davis and be their guy. I think that could be something that could be very big for them and very, very exciting for the league. And he's probably the most watched talent, the most speculated, most under the microscope talent we've seen come out of college going into the draft since LeBron James. The kid's just a freak of nature. He plays the game the right way. He gets to the rim. He can shoot it a little bit. Outstanding rebounder, outstanding defender. And I'm hoping that we see his game translate to the NBA very well. I think it will, but only time will tell. Playing with the Pelicans, not a big market, not much to offer, but I'm very excited to see, you know, him put on that cap and be the first pick of the draft tomorrow night. I think he's going to be everything that NBA fans are looking for within a new young star. So this week, the MLB, it's been a good week. I've been watching a lot of the games, but one thing I want to key in on the most is the New York Yankees at the moment. The last 10 games, they're 6-4. It doesn't sound great. They're 45-27 on the year, 2.5 games up on Tampa Bay. And honestly, they've been playing exceptional baseball. It's outstanding that they've done what they've done with the injuries that they have. They've been, you know, backs up against the wall since about April. Aaron Judge went down. Stanton's been out. You know, guys like their rotational guys like Tulowitzki's been out. Andujar's done for the year. You know, Clint Frazier just got sent down with Stanton coming back. The signing of Cameron Maben's been outstanding. 4 home runs in the last 4 games. Aaron Hicks, hot and cold. Who knows what that's going to do. Brett Gardner starting to get a little hot. Not great, but, you know, we all know he's on his way out. Gregorius is back. The pitching is doing their job for the most part. It's been good. Tanaka threw a complete game, 2-hitter, 10 Ks the other night. That was outstanding. And last night they got the win as well. Having Stanton back is going to make this lineup a lot more dangerous. Many times he gets a lot of bad rap. He strikes out a lot. I think having him in the lineup is going to be exceptional for the Yankees. I think his bat in the middle of that lineup in that first 4 slots is going to be something that makes that lineup a lot more dynamic. You can't pitch around some guys. You've got to face 1 or 2 guys you don't want to face all the time. And with the signing of Encarnacion being that DH role, with Luke Voit being at first, that just adds so much power to that lineup. Encarnacion has the most home runs in the league since entering the league, and he's been outstanding. He homered last night for the first time after going 0-for-4 in his first game, and I'm beyond excited to see what he does. Aaron Judge homered in his AAA game last night. He looked pretty good, looking strong, looking healthy. The oblique looks like it's healing up. And this is going to bring us to a very sticky situation on who leaves for AAA when Judge comes back. Mabin's been killing the game. He's been playing great, hitting the ball. He's an exceptional fielder. He does his job. He's quick on the base path. And Aaron Hicks has been hot and cold for the last 2 years. Many times, Aaron Hicks is a guy that usually gets a pass. He's got a great arm. His bat's great. He hits from both sides of the plate. But he falls into slumps and he gets cold at the wrong times. And right now is the worst time to get cold. You know, Clint Frazier's bat was outstanding. He's an outstanding hitter. Very great on the base path. That kid could fly. And, you know, a couple mishaps here or there on the field landed him back in AAA. And I think that was an easy decision for the GMs. Whether they're going to trade Frazier for more pieces, there's been a lot of Scherzer talk. They're looking for another ace. I honestly wouldn't be surprised if they do pull the trigger on it. They try to do it. But honestly, who do you send down? It's the roster's too deep. They're too deep. It's unbelievable. You know, Gardner's that leader in the clubhouse, I think. I think he's been there since 09, him and Sabathia. They've been there. They know what it takes. They've been there for 10 years. I don't think you send down him. I don't even think it makes sense if you could. He's got to be that guy, you know, to take the reins with this young team, with the likes of Judge, Stanton. You know, these guys, they need that leader, and I think that is Gardner. So it's really between Hicks and Mabin, and like I said, Mabin's been playing outstanding baseball. I think it's tough to get rid of him. I think it's, especially with how he's been playing the last 4 or 5 games, I think it's a very tough call to get rid of him. I think Aaron Hicks is a great player. I think he's very streaky, and right now he's just not getting the job done. The pitching staff is doing their job. You know, we're banged up a little bit. You've got Severino on the DL. You know, you got Betances on the DL. It's not an easy job for the Yanks to win games. They've been giving up runs, but their hitting has been doing the job. They have been relying on the long ball a little bit, but that's just Yankee baseball. They've been pretty steady. Being 18 games over 500 with the roster that they've had for the season so far is beyond spectacular. They're playing outstanding ball. They're doing their job. And I think it's time for a move to be made for when Judge comes back. You're going to have to let go of a great player, and you're going to have to send him down or trade him. And it's going to be a knock on the club, but you've got to do what's best for business. And you're not going to keep Aaron Judge down longer than he has to be, because he's arguably one of the best power hitters in baseball that we've seen in the last 20 years. I mean, the kid just never fails to hit the ball out of the park and get on base. Again, he's another one with a lot of strikeouts, but I think he's someone that over time is going to grow and be that guy that the Yankees could look to be that influential leader. He's come through the system. He's born and bred a Yankee. I think it's time for him to be the guy, and I think this could be the year that he does it, coming back off this oblique injury. Maybe it set him back a little bit. But with this lineup from top to bottom, it's going to be very hard to beat the Yankees. They're going to have to give up 100 runs to lose. They've got too many bats. So I'm very curious as to who is going to get dropped. Will it be Hicks? Will it be Mabin? Will it be somebody else? But right now, I think it's between those two guys. And I think Aaron Hicks is the answer. I don't think that you could keep him on the roster much longer. He's not performing. He's not doing his job. And that's what needs to be done. So that's going to wrap it up for today. I hope you enjoyed your time here. Wasn't the longest of episodes, but when push comes to shove and, you know, we get more material and I get more comfortable, we'll be doing a lot more. I'm going to have some more people on the show. And we're going to really dig deep. We're going to get into it. We're going to have some debates. We're going to do, you know, what sports broadcasters do. We're going to have some fun. Thank you for tuning in. And I'll be back soon. Have a good one.